My dad loved to spread the glorious gospel across the globe and into the hearts of everyone. We are grateful to be in your home today, worshiping the Lord together. Today, Dad speaks to the promise in Romans 8:28 in his message, "All things work together for good."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when the weekend comes around because then we get together all over the world, the body of Christ, worshiping God, worshiping the Lord Jesus all over the world. And not only that, but we're helping others to come to know Jesus, to be born again and be a part of the kingdom of God. So today we're going to have a sermon. I know you're going to get a blessing from it. It's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And just call your neighbor. Maybe they're having a little trouble. Maybe they're having a sorrow. Maybe they're having something in the family, whatever. And just tell them to listen in. And I know that God will just take this to bless their heart. But first, I want to read some of the letters. And I want to thank you for writing letters. And if you just get your pencil and paper and have it ready, close of the service, I'll give you where you can write. And maybe we'll hear from you. The first letter we get is from Davenport, North Dakota, and it's from a little girl. She's 10 or 11 years old, and she's been writing to us for several years, and she tithes, and she sends her tithe to the Christian Worship Hour, this little girl up in North Dakota. Well, she has a request today, and this is what she writes. "Could you send me one more Heart of a Shepherd DVD for my grandma and grandpa? My grandpa watches you every Sunday. Please pray for him. He doesn't feel the greatest." And so here's a little girl writing in for her grandpa. And of course, we'll send out Heart of a Shepherd. We have all going now. And we send that out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, if you're in prison or if you're maybe in Social Security and you just don't have a nickel to your name, you write to us and we'll send you on free and postpaid. And that's just part of our ministry. Here's a letter from Bismarck, North Dakota. And this is from a gentleman. And he writes and says, "The Holy Trinity is a false doctrine not found in the Bible. Therefore, just stop preaching this subject. Now, we know Jesus is not God, too. He was created. And through him, everything else was created, including the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord, but he is not God. The Jews know there is only one God, not two or three. Therefore, stop preaching Jesus is God. Look at how he closes. Sincerely, with godly patience, and because I love you and God loves you," and he sent a liberal gift. Now, I love this man because he's sincere and he's honest, and he's telling exactly how he feels. And so I can tell him how I feel. And we can disagree and we can see it different ways, but we can love each other and talk to each other in a decent manner. So let's just look at what he said. He says, first of all, the Holy Trinity is not found in the Bible. Therefore, just stop preaching it. And that's right. Trinity is not, the Holy Trinity is not found as such in the Bible. But the rapture isn't found in the Bible either. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the church. It just came on the scene as God used them and blessed them and as men grew in the study of the Word. And we know that there is a Holy Trinity because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says that the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son. Another time in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you all." That's St. Paul's benediction. That's the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 5, verse 12, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit." And so we do have the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't read about it and pointed out to you and not seen in the Old Testament, that's just fine. Is still a great doctrine of God, and it's a fact of God, the Holy Trinity. And then he says, Jesus is not God. But when you look in John 1, chapter 1 to 3, It says, in the beginning was the Word, and that's Logos, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. One other scripture I might just use quickly, and that is Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. Jesus, it says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or all things hold together. And so the truer the day is long, Jesus Christ is God. And that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees got together and wanted to crucify him, because he claimed to be the Son of God. And then one other one I want to read, and that is Florence, Italy. Greetings, God bless you, watching you on Daystar. Rodriguez de Marino. And we hear from all over the world, hear from different people watching and worshiping with us. And so I hope that you'll write to us, and I hope you support us, because we have to have your help. And if you'd like to have our DVD, it's an hour long, and it's on a free will offering basis. We also have a little Bible study that we send out. And this month, it's about how God says, I will be with thee. I'll always be with you. It's a little Bible study. I think 6 or 8 reasons that ways he says he'll be with us. So you'd get your pencil and paper, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But we want to look at this wonderful verse. I love to preach this verse. I guess maybe I've preached on this in John 3:16 most of all the verses. I don't know. I have no way to tell. I'm in 75 years, I'm beginning 75 years of preaching, and I've preached about a lot of different verses, but I love this one. I really love it, and it's Romans 8:28, and it says, all things work together. We know that all things work together. And that God for good for them, and those who are called according to his purpose. So let's look at this for just a few minutes. And the first thing I want to say is that this promise is not for everyone. God is not talking to the whole world in this verse when he says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. It's a qualifying statement. You see that all through the Bible. Some scriptures are given, some Bible verses are given for everybody in the world. And some verses are given just for believers, those who have accepted the Lord Jesus. Let me illustrate it for you. Here, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, this is a scripture that's given to everyone, whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint, it doesn't matter. Well, the thing about it, this is given to everybody in the world, and that is, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's for everyone. He wants you, and you say, oh, I've got terrible sins. I've been so wicked, God would never want me. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he'll wash them all away, Isaiah 1, verse 18. Or here's another one, Romans 10, 13, verse Chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is for everyone, everybody. And when you call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. You can be born again and be a child of God. And so I'm just praying that you'll put your faith in Jesus and trust in him, lean upon him, and because that door is wide open for you. But by the same token, some of the Bible verses are given just for believers only. For instance, Psalm 23 in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Doesn't say because the Lord God is a shepherd, but he is my shepherd. And how is he your shepherd? Is it because you open your heart to him? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so you open your heart and you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins and I'll turn from my evil ways the best I possibly can, and I'll walk with you and follow you and thank you, Jesus. You make that prayer, and you then, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. But if Jesus isn't your shepherd, if God isn't your shepherd, I'm going to tell you something you will want all your life, because there's something missing, because you're created with a capacity to have Christ in your life, to have God in your life, and he's never going to be there until you ask him into your heart. As many as received him, you have to ask him into your heart. So if the Lord is not your shepherd, you're going to want all the time. So I'll just keep this in mind. This verse is for the people who believe in God, believe in Jesus, trust Jesus, who have received Jesus, who have been born again. And let's look at this, for instance. We know that all things work together for good. Paul says, we know. He says, he doesn't say we hope or we suspect or we wish, but he says, we know that all the circumstances of life work together for good to those who love the Lord. How does he know? Because God, he knows because God says so. And remember, when God says something, it abides forever. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. In other words, you can count on it. And so what does he know? He says, to them that love God, all things happen to all kinds of people. That is, God makes the sun to shine on the good and the evil. He makes the rain to come and descend on the just and the unjust. And you know, the same rain that causes one house to fall and go to pieces, that same rain will make the other house stronger and make it stand. The same happens in life. When we have the events of life, they can bring bitterness toward God from one thing to one more person, and to the next person, the very same storm will draw them more closer to God and put their faith in God and trust in the Lord Jesus. So what is the difference? Why does one love God and trust God, and why does the next one find just nothing but trouble and hatred toward God or anger toward God because things aren't working right? Well, that's for the answer. Look at St. Paul. Look at how he suffered. He spells out some of the trials that he had. He writes and he says that he had hunger and thirst and loneliness and sickness and prison and robberies and scourging and shipwrecks. And yet, in spite of it all, Paul is never bitter toward God. He had all of those things and a lot more. No, he doesn't become bitter. He accepts the trials and the hardships because he loves God and he trusts God. And he accepts all these things because he knows in his heart that all of these things are working together for good. How can these troubles and trials bring such sweet acceptance by the apostle, while many become bitter? And added troubles make them all the more bitter. It's just like pruning poison ivy. The more you prune it, the worse it gets. So troubles can make a person more bitter as time goes on. But the very same knife that trimmed the poison ivy can trim the fruit tree, the apple tree, and it becomes more productive and it responds to that and bears fruit, everlasting fruit. So you see, the answer lies, the secret lies not in the difficulties of life. The secret doesn't lie in the events of life, but the secret lies in the person, in me, in you. If there is no faith and love to God and no trust in God, then you become bitter. But if there is love and trust to God, you become sweet and you love the Lord and fruit results. It all depends on the individual. It doesn't depend on what happens to us and the people. It happens to us as an individual. How are we going to respond? And that's what the writer of the Hebrews talks about. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There you have it, the chastening, the troubles, and the trials of life. It says, afterwards, after it's all done, it produces fruit, and it produces joy, and has the results. and it has results that'll come in the time to come. But all some of these results we will never ever see, because it says afterward. After what? After the life is gone. And after we're with the Lord, we will see how all of these hard things were blessings in disguise. And we have to be open to God and receive the Lord. Trust the Lord. And no matter what happens, we love him and we trust him. And we know that his loving hands are pierced hands, because they're holding us and keeping us, bringing us to him. And you need to come to Jesus. Confess our sins. Ask him to come into our heart. And then whatever comes, we rejoice and we're happy. So we must learn to accept the adversities of life. Don't try to get around them. Don't try to deny them. Accept them as from God. So often we don't want hardship. We always want the sun to shine. We always want to have bumper crops. We always want the sky-high stock market. We also want health and prosperity. But when we pray, we need to pray for God's will to be done. And we need to pray, come sunshine or come rain, come blessing or come blight, some goodness or hardness. We pray, thy will be done. And we want the Lord to have his way. So many times when we pray, we have that plan all planned out, and we know what we want God to do. And we're praying so that our wishes will come true. I read of a couple, they'd been married about 50 years, and they just have had an awful, rough marriage. And one day his wife spoke and says, John, you and I, we've been fussy with each other. We've been just having a hard time for 50 years. And so why don't we do this? Why don't we pray that God will take one of us home, and then I'll go and live with my sister. You see, we got it all planned out. But we pray, thy will be done. When we come to the place where we love God with our whole heart, we will pray that his will be done. If the trials come upon us, we love God. If the sun shines, we love God. We come to be like Job, who at the dawn of human history declared, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, he is saying, and he's teaching us to say as we live, when the Lord gives, we bless his name. And when the Lord takes, we bless his name. That's what Paul says when he declared, to them that love God, are you loving God? Are you trusting God? It'll make all the difference in the world. Put things in God's hands and love him and trust him. And then it goes on and says, all things. We know that all things work together for good. Not a few things, not some things, but all things. The good things of life and the hard things and the bitter things of life. God is using them to work his perfect plan for us. And the next time you see something that happens is good, thank God. That's a part of life. And the next time you have something that's hard and bitter and makes you hurt, thank God, that's a part of life. And when we live like that, loving the Lord and trusting the Lord, it'll work together. That's what he says. All things work together for those who love the Lord. And the big word in this whole verse is together. It's not the one event, this little event and this little event and this circumstances and all these little things. He puts them all together, just like making a cake, and you have this ingredient and this and this and this, and alone you don't eat the cinnamon alone or the lard or whatever you use in them. I don't cook anything, but you put it all together, and then it comes out a beautiful cake. And that's the events of life. There's going to be the hard things, the bitter things. There's going to be the sweet things. It's never a single event. It's the happenings of life. And they must run their full course to see how they worked out. The purpose of life is to produce good, moral good, spiritual good. But how do we know? We cannot know until it all plays out, until time is no more, until this world of God and of the angels and of the redeemed and the hosts of heaven and the all loved ones, and they all meet together in heaven on that great, wonderful day. Then afterward, see, then we will see. Remember what Jesus said? He told his disciples, they were wondering about this and they were wondering about that. And then Jesus says, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. What day? That day when life is over and we meet the Lord, we stand in his presence and we're in heaven. And then we're going to see when life is gone, life is to come, that new life, and there we are, and God is there, and we look over the whole panorama, the whole life, and we'll say, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. It was all for good. It was all for God. And that's the way you have to look at it. Or just, and for the time being, it just may look like a terrible loss. It may look like nothing has worked out. It may seem like maybe right today you think everything has gone wrong. There's nothing else to happen. Everything has gone wrong. You know, that's what they thought when Jesus died on the cross, didn't they? They nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And those disciples and men, and some of them women too, they stood there and they watched him and they watched Jesus say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up his spirit and he died. And it looked like devil had a victory. Jesus Christ was dead and he was going to be put in the grave. And it looked like a total terrible and awful thing that happened. But it was the most glorious thing that ever happened in the world, because the third day he was raised. And when he was raised, it meant that I don't have to go to hell. I can go to heaven. And you can go to heaven, but you couldn't do it if Jesus didn't die on that cross, have that terrible, terrible event of life where it looked like everything was hopeless and lost. And that's the glory of life. Jesus talks a little about that, about a woman in travail. And when she gives this birth to this child, there's agony and there's suffering and there's a terrible thing. All of a sudden, there's a little child. And all of the troubles, all of the sorrows you see out of all of these hardnesses comes something beautiful, something good. And that's the way God is at working. The devil can't do that. Devil knew that. All he does is cause troubles and trials. And he wants to take your soul into hell. And he's taking plenty, believe me. Because everybody, you see, Jesus wants your soul and the devil wants your soul. And you say, who's going to get my soul? Well, I'll tell you who's going to get your soul. It's who you decide for. Can't be your husband, can't be your wife, can't be your pastor, can't be your children, your parents. You decide whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. And I hear these people, they blame their parents, they weren't raised right. Well, maybe the parents weren't, well, maybe the kids weren't raised right. I don't know. But you won't be able to blame your parents and you won't blame anybody else. And so you just put your faith in Jesus and don't fight against them and don't fuss against them. And just do this. Trust the dear Lord Jesus. And believe me, I want to tell you something, friends. Always remember this. Don't lose your faith just because something happens. Don't throw things over because something happens. Don't throw away what you know for what you don't know. You don't know why this happened, so you're done with God and you're bitter toward God. Don't throw something with you know. Don't throw that away for something you don't know. Well, you say, well, what do we know? Well, I'll tell you what we know. We know that God loves us. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. We know that God does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. We know that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We know that no good thing will he withhold from them that love him. We know that God is in charge of the affairs of life. Nothing happens that he doesn't allow. We know that he will never leave us or forsake us. We know that he is with us unto the end of the age. We know that he never slumbers or sleeps. His eye is always upon us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We know that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Those are some of the things we know. Are you going to throw all those things you know and take instead take some you don't know? That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. And what we need to do, we just need to count on the Lord Jesus Christ and always remember that he'll keep his word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He says that he will always be with us no matter what happens, even to the end of the age. And so I guess what we have to close with this is, what are you going to do with this verse? Are you going to take it and say, yes, that's my verse. And I believe it from my belief, every word of it. And I love that God. I love Jesus. And I want him in my life. And then you pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And then you write to us. Write to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us and we'll send you literature to help you get along. And if you want our film, I know it'll be a blessing. You write for that. It's on a free will offering basis. If you want the Bible study, you get right for the new song. And always remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that we are always, we'll have everything above board. When you give your money, you're all going to go for the proclamation of the gospel. So now I want to pray, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Egypt. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of the multitudes of people opening their heart to you. I thank you for those who are on beds of sickness. I thank you for the young people. Thank you for the children. All of them need this wonderful verse, and help them to know that whatever's happening in their life, it's going to have a good result. It's your plan and your purpose. And then we pray for our brothers and sister, Lord, in Egypt, that you'll just watch over them and help them and give them courage and help us to be better Christians, because we can see how true they are to you. Help us to be true also. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me give you the scripture again. Let me give you our address again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us, or you can send a gift to us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need your prayers and we need your gifts, and we're going to continue. And so we're counting on you, because our only source of income is from God's people. So now, until next week, we'll be praying for you. And just remember that God loves you. And all remember that Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I love you the best way I know how. And that's why I'm preaching the best way I know. And you say, well, it's not very good. And I say, you don't need to tell me. I know. But I'm telling you what the God says. And that's always a success when you talk about the Word of God. And so we're praying that you make that prayer. And you just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And next week, we'll be coming back to worship with you. We're going to talk about Abraham, good old Abraham. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.